Before we get started today, I wanted to talk about my favorite prenatal supplement. It's by Needed. Needed was created by two moms and nutritionists who knew women deserve better. Their products are third-party tested and support women before, during, and after pregnancy. And guess what? Even dads, too. Our community gets 20% off your first order with code VBAC, VBAC. At thisisneeded.com. If you are taking a prenatal already, that's okay. I encourage you to listen to episodes 109 and 406 as we talk with Needed's co-founder, Julie, about what you want in a prenatal and if you are finding that your prenatal is just not cutting it. Just like a provider, it's never too late to change. All right, women of strength, let's get into today's wonderful episode. Hey everybody, we have our friend Esther sharing her stories today. You guys, she has been through such a wild journey. I mean, unlike any that I have ever heard of before. She has truly had to fight for her and her family and her rights and what she believed in. We are going to be talking about loss today because Esther has experienced a loss, but she really found healing through all of her journeys, and we really are so grateful that she is with us today to share her stories. We do have a review of the week, so we're going to get into that, and then we'll turn the time over to Esther. This came in on our Instagram. It says, "I got my V back. All massive thanks to your course and resources for giving me the solid evidence base for decision making and a vision full of heart and soul. Absolutely buzzing." She also sent us a picture of her with her baby. Oh my gosh, you guys, we love this so much. It made us so happy this morning to open our Instagram and see this incredible image of this mom who went through, educated herself, felt empowered, and took charge of her own birth. So, if you guys have not had a chance to leave us a review, can I just ask you to do that for us? We love your reviews. Our team reviews them. It makes us smile. And honestly, it helps other women of strength find this podcast. So you can leave it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or if you want, you can go on Google the VBAC link and leave us a review there. Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after two C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional. All right, Miss Esther, I'm so excited for you to be here with us today. I know you've been through quite the journey to get here today and share this, these stories with this community and the women of strength. So I'd love to turn the time over to you.
Yeah, I'm really excited to share my stories with your community. I hope that it can be helpful to women. I think it can be. So I got married in 2015, and pretty a few months after got pregnant. I was really excited, and like, any young person pregnant for the first time, reading all the books and really excited and very into it, and then had an early miscarriage, which was really shocking to me. So I think already that just to me that was like already like a learning experience of like, hey, how come I didn't know that this was such a normal thing? And to me it was like shocking, like my baby died. Oh my gosh. And really like I don't think it had to be as intense as it was if I would have just like had a little more information before that. So that was that experience. And I got pregnant right away the next cycle, and it was twins. So I did again, I read all the things, and one of the things I discovered really early on was that I was looking for an OBGYN, and I just noticed that when you look into an OBGYN, the first thing I would see is that they were specializing in all these complications. And that was really strange to me because I'm this young, healthy woman. I happen to be like in general. And I was like, I don't want somebody who specializes in problems. I want somebody who specializes in everything going well. So that's when I discovered the concept of a midwife. Then I did connect with a midwife and who had like lots of experience with birthing twins and good, wonderful, no problem. Towards the end of the pregnancy, they said, "Oh, your babies are breech, so you're going to schedule a C-section." And I was really shocked by this. I did not have enough information for sure. That's number one. But also, I really like assumed that if I would need a surgery to remove my children from me, then that would mean that there's like a medical problem. Like I have a medical, like I'm like ill or something's wrong, but nothing's wrong. I'm this healthy young woman pregnant with twins, which is wonderful. Like, what's wrong with that? Right. So I was kept just like not believing that it was really going to happen. And so I didn't schedule it. And they were got like really mad at me to the point where like they were like, whatever, they were mad about it. So finally, one day I did give up. I basically called like every practice in New York and nobody would take me at 38 weeks pregnant with breech twins, shockingly. So for transfer of care, they said, come to us, for your VBAC after this. Fine. So I went ahead with the C-section. It was like a family-centered C-section, which I personally don't like. That I know that like a lot of people find that that is helpful, that it's an option. And I really didn't, it did not speak to me at all. I did like, I had a clear drape. I saw the baby's foot shoot out. And my husband was right next to me. The babies were given to me right away. All the stuff. But bottom line is C-section is a C-section. And I don't think it didn't do that much for me. So it was pretty awful from where I was standing. Like this was not at all what I expected birth to be like. And yet, like there was no like space for that. It was just like, okay, like you had babies, like you should be so happy. Everything's fine, like everything's healthy, everything's normal. Your C-section was
Right.
a textbook C-section. They kept saying, and I was like, well, duh, it was textbook. There was nothing wrong with me. Why would it not be textbook? Like, yeah. So life moved along. Then I got pregnant like a little over a year later. And I was told I couldn't get pregnant for a year. So fine, there it was. And then planned a VBAC. And I actually didn't like do that much planning. I just assumed like there was nothing wrong last time. So why would there be anything wrong this time? And like, birth works. I was totally not doing anything special to prepare. I just assumed that it'll be totally fine. And I picked a different practice. I moved for work. So I was in New Jersey at the time and just picked a different midwife practice to go with and prepared and like assumed I would have a VBAC. I got a doula. And yeah, that was it. And just an interesting side note was that I knew that they miscalculated my dates. Like I just knew that my dates were for sure a week off. But I didn't know at the time that like how likely it was as a first time birther that I would probably go much later than that. So I was just like, but you're wrong about the dates. I know for a fact you're wrong about the dates. Like it is not possible to conceive without touching your spouse. So therefore, I can, when you are saying I conceived, and so you are wrong, but you can disagree with me. And like, that's fine. I didn't realize how impactful that would end up being. So at 40 weeks, they called me and they were like, when are you having your C-section? And I was like, what? Why would I have a C-section? I was like still so totally did not see it coming. And it was like absolutely, they were never planning to really offer me a VBAC, I think, from how it played out. But I did not see it at all. Even at 36 weeks, they did an ultrasound and they were like, oh, baby's breech. When do you want to schedule your C-section? And I was like, what? Like, so I went for an ECV the next day and the baby was already flipped. Like babies flip at 36 weeks. Why would you
They
like
do.
play? So that was strange to me. In any case, 40 weeks, they start calling me every single day. When are we having the C-section? When are we having the C-section? So I'm going out of my mind of like trying to get this baby to come. I did like all the natural at home induction stuff. You can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes because I don't believe in such a thing anymore. But yeah, I was doing all the things. If you read about it, I did it to try to get this baby to come out. And finally, at 42 weeks, my waters released and we ran to the hospital because I was VBAC and I was GBS positive. So we ran to the hospital. And we get there and they're like, oh, you're only 1 centimeter dilated. You'll never give birth. You have to have
Oh,
an abortion. And thus
man.
proceeded 36 hours of total hell. That was to me, honestly, like with all of my subsequent drama and all my births, that was the most like turning point for me of like totally losing faith in this system working. They did everything to that made this birth not work. There was no way I was going to give birth under this. The doctor was screaming at us. He pulled my doula out. And said, and he
Why?
calls himself the VBAC king of New Jersey. He backs
Oh,
all. I
gosh.
was like, I don't even understand what's happening. He pulled my doula out and said, you have to convince her to have a C-section. Why would I,
What?
like, I'm here to advocate for her. Why would I convince her to have a C-section? Because she's never going to give birth. Why would she not give birth? Because you're not, it was, I mean, it was just out of control. Like,
Oh, wow.
everything, like, yeah, labor was not happening in that hospital. That was just never going to happen. And I wish I would have realized that. So yeah, we were there 36 hours till I finally gave up and had a C-section. And it was very upsetting. It was very upsetting. We got our baby and we were like, we're supposed to be happy now. But we just went through this like massive thing. So that was really hard. Like moving into like parenthood. Yeah, straight from this really intense experience. And also I think it was just a really intense experience of like, wow, like you don't have my best interests at heart. Like some of the lines that were said, like the doctor said, like, well, what do you want from me? The hospital, like my insurance won't let me. And I was like,
Oh gosh.
you want me to like not care about my health because of your insurance? Like, that's not a reason for me to make. And he, like, they even sent the head of the hospital to like tell us we had to leave, which I didn't understand was really an option. They were just like, if you're not having a C-section, you have to leave. I was like, I don't know what to do.
So they were gonna reject care if you didn't do what they wanted?
Yes. And those were like difficult things that he was saying. And I think this also is like, so not culturally attuned. Like, I'm from a community where we do have usually like higher order children, higher numbers of children. And to be blind to the fact that I probably was going to have more children. And he kept saying, nobody, just so you know, nobody in New Jersey, no hospital in Jersey allows a trial of labor after two C-sections, and no doctor will allow you to have more than four, maybe five C-sections. So for the record, that's not how that went down, but yeah, I have more of the children than that by now, but him saying that, I was like, you are telling me that you're killing my future children for no current medical cause. Baby was on distress, there was no current problem. You just are not like allowing my body to do what it can do, and you're like telling me that you are going to harm me indefinitely and harm my future children. Why am I supposed to trust you? Why am I supposed to believe that you have my like full picture of my health care in mind? I don't trust you at all. Why would I trust, like, on what basis should I continue to subject myself to this kind of a system? So that happened. And then a few months after that birth, I was like confused with what to do for birth control for various reasons. That's a long story, so I will leave that for this podcast because it's a long story. Basically got pregnant at 4 months postpartum. So that was like shocking just because I had just come off this really big experience. So like going straight into that was like, whoa, okay, now what? And I was like, I had met a home birth midwife in that experience. She's a legal home birth midwife, so she wouldn't be able to attend my birth, but she did help connect me with other people in the home birth sphere. So particularly one person she connected me with was like somebody who coined the term VBAC and wrote like the early books on VBAC. And I spoke with her a lot and she was such a help and giving me like perspective and guidance and support. And she helped connect me to a few options of birth workers outside of the legal system so that, because otherwise they're not allowed to attend a home birth after multiple C-sections. And I proceeded for plans for a home birth. I will say that during that pregnancy, I was really, really focused on knowing all the information. I like read all the books. I read all the research available on this stuff. I actually had a dehiscence, like a uterine window in that C-section. So I looked into like all the relevant research on births after uterine dehiscence. And I just like knew all the statistics and all the relevant research that was available at the time. And this is 2018, 2019, 2019. So that's what I was like really focused on. And I was not like eating super well. And like, I wasn't focused on my health. I was really focused on knowing all the information and being able to argue that I was right. And looking back, like
Well,
that was
there's a lot to do with prep, and sometimes some
totally.
things kind of go over to the side because we're so focused over here.
Yeah, but I think that what's interesting about it to me was that I think I was really intent on being able to like prove my point. And I really didn't need to prove my point to anybody. Nobody else was going to give birth besides me. So that was a big, I mean, a massive learning curve for me because I think my entire life I was like that. Like, I'm going to know the right answer and I'm going to prove to everybody that I know it. And getting to a point where like, I actually don't need to care. It's not my job to make anybody be convinced or to inform of anybody why they're wrong. Like, that's not my job. I just need to figure out what's right for me. So that was pretty huge. But for that pregnancy, I was really focused on. Fine. So my water's released at 40 weeks this time, and labor like starts and it's not like really going, but it's okay. I was monitoring at home. I wasn't concerned about infection because I didn't have any signs of infection and I was monitoring for it. That's like the big question with like open waters for a long time. So it was like 3 days of my waters being open and like not really like start stop labor, not really picking up. And I do think in the research I did after that, that it was connected with inflammation, but like aware of that at the time. And I was feeling really, really, really pressured to get this baby out because people around me were very anxious about like we're doing home birth after two C-sections, the big deal. And so I ended up taking castor oil. Do not ever do that ever, ever, ever. I don't recommend anybody. If you've had a C-section, for sure, do not do that. If your waters have been open for any amount of time, for sure, do not do that. Now I know. So I was to like advised to take it in two doses. I took, I think it was like two tablespoons, and then like 4 hours later, two tablespoons maybe with protein, something like that. So I took the first dose, and then like labor started picking up, and then I took the second dose, and I was like, no, I don't feel well. I don't feel well, and I like blacked out for a second. I came back, and I was bleeding.
Whoa.
Yeah, and I had a placental abruption. We did go to that. We took like half an hour till the person who was attending my birth came back from where she was. This is upsetting that she wasn't available because I like she had been around and she left and we asked her not to leave. So that was upsetting, but fine. Like I was never really like entrusting my birth to her. So it wasn't a so I, and it was upsetting to other people, but to me, I wasn't so upset because I was never like relying on her for my birth to go well. I was relying on me for my birth to go well. So I don't like hold that. And then we had like emergency services waiting outside, and I went with them to the hospital. And I was actually, I think this is like a little interesting to me. I ended up, it took like an hour and a half of being at the hospital till they finally called it an emergency and did an emergency C-section. Because no, the baby was okay. Like she was okay for a while. Then all of a sudden she was not
There
okay.
was an abruption. It was just a slow abruption affecting the baby.
Yeah, it wasn't like immediately an emergency. I mean, I guess like I think it's important to share because I think people think that like, oh, like everything, you know, if you would have been we would have been in the OR 1 second. And like it's not true. I was in the hospital for an hour and a half before they called it an emergency and did the C-section. Because they were like prepping me for surgery, but they weren't like, you know, rushing to do it until her heart rate started dropping. Then when she was born, she did end up having a couple seizures. So she was in the NICU for a few days because of that. So that was really difficult. And obviously, like all the emotions and all the stuff. So, you know, that was really, really hard. But I did feel like it was even a little bit less hard than the previous birth because at least I felt like I made like as informed choices as I could have made, being like blindsided completely. So that was a little bit comforting to me, at least, even though it obviously didn't go the way I wanted it to go. And it was a scary situation. I do think there was something really impactful for me about like, I can make the best choices I can make, and I can't control the outcomes, but I can like continue to, you know, make reasonable choices. I also, yeah, whatever. I'll leave
Well,
that.
I mean, if you even think about your other birth, like so much pressure and like to the point that they're pulling your doula out and be like, talk her into it. Like that is a very different situation that leaves you feeling yucky. And even though this outcome wasn't what you wanted, you were the one in charge of this birth. You were the one calling the shots, right?
Yeah, which is a huge responsibility, and like I think I have
Huge.
to sit with that. Like, it didn't go the way I wanted it to go, but still, I do feel that I am better, more capable of holding my long-term health and my children's long-term health in mind when making decisions better than a doctor. I just think that's the case. So that was that birth. After that, I got an IUD, and Corona started. And we moved to Israel, so a lot of things going on at the same time. And then, like a month after we moved, I got pregnant, which was I didn't even know you could get pregnant with an IUD. So I was totally shocked and really devastated, honestly, because I had in mind like, okay, I'm gonna like take the time and I'm gonna fix all the things. I'm gonna figure out what the problem was and I'm gonna work. I'm like going to become like a marathon runner, and I'm going to interview all the birth workers in all of Israel, so I know who does what and who specializes in what and who's amazing. And I'm going to just like figure everything out and have all this time to figure it all out. And then that was kind of like yanked out from under me. That's how I felt. And then I decided, like, okay, the same God who can make me pregnant can give me the perfect birth, and this is not complicated for him. So that was a big like release point for me of like, I don't need, it doesn't have to be on my terms. And I spent that pregnancy working very, very hard on my health and also trying to release my need to like convince other people. I had a conversation with somebody who, where I was like, I was saying like statistics, and the person was yelling at me, "You're crazy, you're crazy, you're crazy." And I was like, see, the thing is that you're saying, you're screaming and saying I'm crazy, and I am saying statistics. So I'm not sure if this is really working out the way that we think this is working. So I'm going to stop doing this. This is not a good investment. So I did like release more of that pattern of like needing to prove myself. So that was that pregnancy. And I did work very hard on my health and worked on improving my inflammation and all that good stuff. And I planned for really like the turning point was getting the IUD out. I was looking for somebody who would be, I was like, I know I have birth trauma. I need somebody who's going to be extremely, extremely, extremely sensitive. And I looked for like the nicest, 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 nicest doctor. And I did not like how it went at all, at all, at all. And I was just like, we came in crying and saying we have, but me and my husband, that we have significant birth trauma. Please be extremely gentle with us. And he was not extremely gentle with us and at all. And I was like, and for no reason, like it wasn't, nothing terrible happened, but like, hello. And I, to me, that was a kind of like a, like, I am done with deluding myself that these people are capable of like actually giving me what I need. I'm going to take more responsibility for this, and I'm going to not let people hurt me. That was like my big commitment. I'm not letting people hurt me anymore. And so yeah, I worked really, really, really hard on my health and planned for an unassisted birth. And I planned to have a friend there who attends births outside the system. And in the end, I kind of knew I wasn't going to call her. So I didn't call her, and she knew I wasn't going to really call her. So that was all fine. And yeah, I went into labor. I had like early labor for like 2 days of like, nice contractions, but nothing, not like anything real, nothing really picking up, just like, early signs. And then on the third day in the morning, bam, I was actually texting a client, and I saw, like, knew the exact time. It was like 6:48 a.m. Like, bam. And then 4 minutes later, bam. And then 4 minutes later, bam. And then I got in the bathtub. And for 18 hours, I really don't, I my perspective on what happened was it didn't really ever change. Like it didn't, I don't feel like it ever picked up in intensity. It never picked up in frequency. It's pretty much stayed the same like that for 18 hours straight. At some point, at some point it moved to pushing, and then my baby came out on my bed, and that was it.
That's
Yeah,
amazing.
it was amazing. It was really amazing. It was really amazing. It was really amazing. I have no other words. It was just amazing. And I picked my baby up right away, and I saw he had like a little gunk. It was a little, like he was a little raspy when he was breathing in his first few moments, which is pretty not like pretty normal. I just like swiped a little bit in his mouth, and then was just talking and gurgling. Like no, there was no, no drama, no anything. Just baby into the world. That was it. So yeah, so that was beautiful. I do think it was, it's helpful also to share. I did actually, like, I probably like considered like hemorrhage. I lost a lot of blood in the hours after. I'm guessing because of, like placental attachment and my prior placenta experiences. So I did like, yeah, it took like 2 or 3 hours for the placenta to detach. And I, so I did call that friend actually at that point to come and help me. She like, I had like already cooked up a storm. So I had all this soup and food and whatever. So she like warmed up soup for me and like got me settled in bed and got my husband to go to sleep even, and like got us just like settled. Because, and so I called her because my placenta didn't come out for like 2 hours ish. And when I tried standing, I just wanted to go in the shower just to rinse off and then put on my pajamas. And when I tried standing up, I fainted.
Oh,
So
because
I
you
think,
were losing blood.
yeah, because I lost that much blood. So that's when I called her. When she came, she tried to get me up again because I was like, I just want to rinse off in the shower. It's like 2 steps away. I can't get there. So she tried to get me up again, and I fainted again. So then we were like, okay, never mind. So I did lose quite a lot of blood, and it did take me like maybe 2 days to really like regain myself, but totally managed at home. I also did tear significantly. In Israel, you have to have like a doctor see you within 24 hours after the birth, just like to get your like citizenship and birth certificate. Sorry, that's the word, birth certificate and passport and stuff. So I did have a doctor look at it, and he said it was second degree tear, and he offered to stitch me up, and I declined and healed that without stitches. And that was that birth story. Yeah. So, and my son is 3 now, so that was great.
Hey, Women of Strength, I want to talk about one of the companies we wholeheartedly love and feel you should know about. It's a company called Needed. Needed was created by two mothers and trained nutritionists who knew there had to be a better way when it comes to women's health. When I found out about Needed, I was immediately inspired by their passion and drive to help women all over. They've developed high-quality supplements that support women before, during, and after pregnancy. And they didn't just stop there. They have also created products designed to support dads and kids because the whole family's health matters. The women behind Needed are truly change makers. They've brought together a collective of over 10,000 practitioners who work with them on everything from education to product development, and they've set a radically better standard for women's health. We are so grateful for the work they are doing. And here's the best part. Our amazing community gets 20% off your first order. Just use the code VBACK at checkout when you head over to thisisneeded.com. Again, that is code VBACK, VBAC, for 20% off your first order at thisisneeded.com. We love Needed so much, and we know you will too.
About like a year later or so, I got pregnant, and I had and it was again like not planned, and it ended up being an early miscarriage again. And I really like in that miscarriage reflected that like I'm really frustrated with going into these pregnancies like not wanting to be pregnant repeatedly. I really would like to be happy to be pregnant and like want my children. I mean, I want my children, but like since it was like unplanned pregnancy several times in a row, it was just like not fun. And I was like, I don't want it to be like this. I want to like want to be pregnant. So I kind of like let that go. And like my next cycle went into like, I'm ready to receive whichever children want to come through me. And I'm not fighting this. This is a wonderful thing. So that was also like a big turning point for me, I think. And then I got pregnant. And that pregnancy, I really did not take care of my health again. But I think that was because I was just focused on my work. I was really stressed at work, and I was like not sleeping enough and at all, and really stressed and sitting on the couch a lot and not eating so well and not moving at all and all that stuff. But I was kind of enjoying that. Like, see, now I kind of like did all the work. So now like I know what to expect and everything's going to be just fine. So it's not a big deal. So I was kind of enjoying that, like not having to work so hard. And I think that's where my attitude was coming from. In any case, towards the end of the pregnancy, one of my feet swelled up. And so I thought maybe this is a blood clot. So I was trying to figure out how to deal with that. And really, unfortunately, like did not get, like I knew if I went to the emergency room, they would just do a C-section. So I was trying to figure out like a way to get an assessment of whether or not this is a blood clot without going to the emergency room, and nobody would do it. There was a lot of arguing of like, well, why won't you do an ultrasound? And I was like, why won't you look at my foot? So a lot of stupidity I felt that like was unnecessary. Like I went to like a there's like an emergent there's like an urgent care for pregnancy. So I went there and like they saw my blood pressure was high, and they saw my a little high 140 over 90, and I had like plus one in the urine protein in the urine thing too. And they said like talk to the doctor about it, but he was so like, why won't you have an ultrasound? And I was like, I just want you to look at my foot. Why do I need an ultrasound if I'm worried about my foot? I'm not worried about the baby. I'm worried about my foot, and I'm worried about the blood pressure, and I'm worried about these other signs, and you're not looking at them. So that was a frustrating experience. And even the morning that I started labor, I was also at my primary care physician because we had like signed on a mortgage and I needed to get life insurance and whatever things I had to do. And also again, my blood pressure was 140 over 90, and I asked about it again. And he said, nah, you're 9 months pregnant. It's not that high for 9 months pregnant. I felt it was high for me. So fine. Labor continued. And then at some point my waters released and there was blood in the water. And we called that part of the story. We called a local woman who works for emergency services, and she said, I'll be there in a minute, but just like call the organization that I work for to let them know that I'm coming. That's like whatever. So my husband called and they like put out a call. They didn't like understand why he was calling. So they put out like an official call, which sent two male paramedics to our house. Then they got there. They, even though this woman was already like talking to me, we're like looking at the amount of blood. We're like trying to listen with the fetoscope. We're like, we're having a conversation. And these two men came in, started like screaming and like fighting with my husband that like, we need to take her right now. And when he was like, she's never going to go with you. You're screaming. Like, please calm down. She's never going to trust you. Like, and then he started saying like, please leave, please leave, please leave. You're just going to like freak her out. She's not going to go with you. Please leave. So I hear this going on. I'm in the bathroom, in the bathtub talking to this woman, and they're out of the room. My friend from the previous birth was on her way. And so I turned to them, I said, I'm sorry, I hear my husband asking you over and over if you could please leave, and you're not leaving, so I'm gonna call the police if you can't leave. Like, it's our house and we're asking you to leave. I said it just like that. They said, well, then we're gonna say that you're psychotic. And I was like, that's not a thing. You can't just say somebody's psychotic. I'm not doing anything to you. I wasn't even talking to you. Like, you can't do that. So I just was like, okay, they're whatever. My husband's dealing with them. I'm not happy about the situation, but like they're outside, like they're there and I'm here, like ignore them, whatever. Then they came over to me. They like leaned over me. They sedated me in my arm and picked me up and took me out of my house. When I got to the ambulance, I like all of a sudden felt like, oh, it's a girl, and got in the ambulance and I was like in and out of consciousness. When we got to the hospital, they didn't tell the hospital why I was unconscious because they sedated me. They said I was unconscious from blood loss. So the hospital assumed that I was like, they actually told my husband that like they think I might die or lose my uterus because I'm unconscious from blood loss. I'm probably like internally bleeding. They prepared like all these blood transfusions. They thought I probably like had like uterine rupture or placental abruption. I did have placental abruption. They did an ultrasound. I was like in and out of consciousness the whole time. So they did an ultrasound and they said there's no heartbeat. And I said, well, then you don't have to do a C-section then, which is like crazy to me that I was able to even like think that in that moment. But I think I was just like so aware that I was going to be like getting the wrong care and so unnecessarily, and everybody else was going to like not think clearly. And yeah, but I couldn't obviously like advocate for myself enough because I was unconscious most of the
Unconscious.
time. But I did like I heard them say like cut her clothes, so I like ripped my clothes off. Like it's like just so much levels of like can't believe I survived that.
Wow.
So that was like horrific beyond, and obviously like the care after the birth was like special, but okay, so that was horrible. Baby was perfect. There was no like other people like I've sometimes like seen pictures of babies with stillbirth, and like my baby was perfect. She was perfectly healthy. I had been feeling anything. I know she was fine. So, yeah.
Heavy. That's heavy.
Yeah.
Really, really heavy.
So that was that birth, and that was pretty horrible.
Very intense.
Very, very intense. And a lot of healing came from it also, a ton of healing. I think like one thing that came to me very clearly after was like, I said to God, like, give me what you will. Like, I'm ready to be like a vessel to hold your children. You want to put children into the world? Like, I am here for you. And it's not mine to decide whether this child needed to be in the world or not. Like, she needed to be 9 months inside of me. She didn't need to come into this world. Like, that's, what, who am I to argue with that? So that was something that was like helpful and healing for me to think about, just that, I did what this child needed from me. Like, I'm still her mother, and I gave her what she needed from me. And yeah, that's that birth. At that point, obviously, I mean, at this point, like, my medical trauma is so, you don't get more, like, yeah. So, something I really struggled with after that was how am I ever going to be willing to have a C-section if I need one after this? After this. If I truly need a C-section, how in the world am I going to get myself to go get one? How am I going to do that? So that was my like big fear after that was like, what if I need a C-section and I'm not going to be willing to do it? How am I going to get myself to be willing to do that? So I did get pregnant like 5 or 6 months later, which was good. I needed time. Actually, my C-section scar did not heal well that time. It was really like open. I had like an open hole in my stomach for months. One of the stitches like popped open. It was very upsetting. and scary and stressful and just whatever. And I was reading the report months later because I didn't read it right away because it was just obviously very emotional. And I was reading it months later and it said on it, they never told me this. They cut by accident some of my abdominal muscles. Oops. So I would go to, I went to like uterine massage. I went to acupuncture. I would like, and I would tell like all the different people I worked with, I would meet with, I would mention that I was having this like, I don't know, funny sensation on my left side. Maybe it's like the scar coming back together. I don't, maybe it's adhesions forming. I don't know what it is. I would like massage it a lot, but then it was clear from the way the report was written that it was that. So that was really upsetting, but they didn't even mention it. Yeah, and just that the scar didn't heal well, so that was open for a really long time. But eventually there was also this just part of me of like I want to have more children, and did I do something wrong that I like deserve to not have pregnancy just be a simple and beautiful thing? Am I deserving to like have it be so scary, so stressful, such a big deal? Absolutely not. So that was something I tried to like make peace with of like, pregnancy is beautiful, pregnancy is wonderful, and just being okay that like with myself that I'm not more broken than anybody else. So that, you know, that was a point for me that was hard, seeing other people just like being pregnant without it being a whole drama or a whole big deal. Like, why do you have to be such a big deal for me? So that was a hard thing for a while. And so I was really grateful that I got pregnant when I did, because I just felt like I kind of like I needed it. Like, I needed to know that like healing is happening, I'm on the way. Like, I know that like logically it would have made sense to wait 2 years, 3 years, or even the rest of my life to wait would have been perfectly logical. But I knew I needed that kind of like, I needed to move through it a little more accelerated pace because I was really suffering. Actually, like early in the pregnancy, I remember somebody, this person who does uterine massage, I was going to her and she said like, she just like feels like the, I can't feel the baby because my last baby is still sitting like so on my chest, on my, I'm like above my heart. Like I can't like even connect to this baby because she's so present for me. And I need to just like let her be next to me rather than like on my chest. And that was like a really helpful, like I would say, like you're here with us, but you're not in me anymore. Like now you're here. And like including her as part of this process was really helpful for me. I even like during the birth, I even was like, you're invited to join us in this birth, like to bring your soul into the room with us. Like you're invited to be here, which was helpful. And I think important. Like I think like, you know, in a sense, like she's part of my family and she deserves to have her place here also.
Yeah. It's actually kind of cool that she was able to feel that and that you were able to connect with that. Like, 'cause that would be something that could be really hard and something that some people might be like, absolutely not, I can't go there.
Well, I
But
was, I don't want to say like hysterical, but like I was like so emotional about the birth. I mean, which just makes sense, but I was like so emotional about the birth that like I couldn't be present in this pregnancy yet, which like makes sense, but like it was time to move into the pregnancy and having trouble doing it. So that was really like helpful in that like transitioning into the pregnancy. So this pregnancy, I worked my butt off. But I also made for myself like a few markers. I was like, I want to like see these things. I want to see like, you know, my weight be here. I want to see my signs of inflammation in my blood work here. I want to see my iron improve. I wanted to do an ultrasound. I was nervous about placenta previa and placenta accreta with all these C-sections and the bad healing scar at that point. So I actually did privately because I did not want to go into the regular system at this point for my own anxieties. So I had a private person do an ultrasound at 13 weeks and at 33 weeks. So at 13 weeks, the placenta was lying over the cervix and it looked like it was attaching to the scar. So I started to go to this acupuncturist. Somebody just like recommended them. And she was like, I'm not worried about that. I know how to deal with that. And I was like, oh, that's very confident of you. So I went to her every week for the pregnancy, which was hard because she wasn't so like, she like lives in the city and I live in like a suburb. So like just getting there and parking was like, ended up just being like a whole day affair every week. But I went to her every week and I took these herbs that she recommended that are like lifting herbs. And I like visualized lifting and all that. And at 33 weeks, I went for another ultrasound and the placenta was high and not attached to the scar at all. And that was very cool. And like all the signs I was asking for, every single sign I was asking for, I was hearing a baby set felt good, healthy. My blood pressure was, I was doing my blood pressure checking at home. I was checking my blood sugars at home. We're all good. I did blood work every month. My doctor thought I was like crazy. He was like, "Are you sure they really want you to repeat this?" And I was like, "Oh, definitely. Yes, they want me to repeat this." I don't know who they are, but I would like to see. So I was like obsessively checking those things, which I think, anybody in pregnant after loss, like usually I think wants more checks. But for me, those were the checks that I wanted. I wanted to see that things were in a really healthy place. Things were. The one thing that was still like on my mind was, how am I going to deal if I need a C-section? Am I in that place of acceptance that I can, that I'm not like terrified of this? And at like around 35, 36 weeks, I was like, okay, I'm good. I worked with somebody who, she does like health coaching, or I don't know how to call it exactly what she does, but she was just really helpful in like getting me in like a good mental space for all this. Yeah. So I felt like, okay, got like all the things. Then towards the end, like 36 weeks or so, around that same time, my husband started to get really, really, really terrified. And he started sharing with a friend how scared he was. And this friend was like, "Well, this sounds weird and concerning. So I'm going to just like call local emergency services and just let them know that they should like be prepared." Whatever that he thought maybe this would mean, like buying special equipment or like maybe paying an OBGYN to like be in the neighborhood on call for me. That's what he thought, which was sweet in some ways, but also delusional in other ways. And so he called this person who works for emergency services in our neighborhood. And they said, "Well, that sounds really suspicious." And they reported it to social services. Yeah. And social services showed up at my house on fr so I was like, so my husband was like having a really hard time with all this, whatever. And I was really feeling the brunt of, I mean, I have five kids at home. At that point, I had five kids at home, and my husband was really like taking a lot of time to take care of himself at that point, which was understandable, but also like I'm 9 months pregnant with all this, just with all this baggage, also like it was just emotionally. And I was doing all this work, like I was going swimming and exercising and meeting with all these like people and doing like all this work. I was like writing a gratitude journal, and I'm doing visualizations and manifestations and affirmations and all
Everything,
everything.
everything.
I'm doing the salt baths, and I'm drinking all day long, and infusions and herbal tinctures and everything. I'm doing everything. So, but because I'm also doing that, but I'm also running a business and the primary breadwinner, and I'm also like running a household with like once a week cleaning help and like laundry and dishes and making meals and like feeding myself and feeding five people and like five kids and myself and my husband. And it was a lot. So I was like, maybe it would be good for me to have just like 2 days to myself to just like recuperate, just like recenter myself a little bit. And my husband was like, "Let's do it as a Shabbos, as like a weekend or Sabbath observance. So like, let's do it as that. And I'll have my sister-in-law, my sister, his sister, take the kids for the weekend." Okay, good. Like, sound like a good idea. So I had like this nice day Friday while he was driving them to his sister. And then Friday night, he goes to services, and I get a knock on the door. And I open the door, and it was two emergency service people, and they were asking if I was having contractions. And I was like, "No, I'm not. And I don't know who you are or why you're here. So I'm gonna close the door now." And I was obviously in like a total panic because of my prior experiences. And apparently, and like we live like downstairs, like it's like downstairs from the street. So I didn't see street level what was going on. But there was actually both like emergency service companies were outside, and police and social services. On a Friday night, and we live on the block of the synagogue, so the whole synagogue lets out, and everybody sees this. My husband is like, "Oh my God, my wife died," and like starts running.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So he comes and he realizes what happens because I'm not letting anybody in the house. I didn't know who called. Nobody even. I didn't even tell people I was pregnant because I was so scared of my previous experiences. I was like, I just don't have like emotional space for this. So I actually really didn't tell almost anybody I was pregnant. I mean, obviously people in my neighborhood saw me and knew, but like, nobody knew I was pregnant. So I was like, who could possibly have done this? So I was not opening the door for anybody. So my husband sees what's going on. He like yells at everybody to leave, get out of here, whatever. So they did all leave. I don't know why. But after that, basically, I was like, I don't feel safe being at home because I don't know who called until he like explained to me what happened with this friend and that he thinks it was probably him, and until he found out more details. But after, I was like, I don't know who called. Anybody could call again. Anybody could keep sending people to my house until they like decide to do whatever they, and we know for a fact from history that they were able to get away with doing whatever. And when I tried pressing charges, nobody would even help me press charges because everybody's afraid of this organization who has way too much power and way too much money. Nobody's suing them. If it was a specific doctor or even a hospital, people, there are lawyers who will go after them, but to go after these specific workers, no one's willing to do that. And I spoke with the company after the birth, and they were like, oh, for sure, they're going to get fired. Like, just follow up with the supervisor. Here's the email. And for months, like, oh, it's by the supervisor. Oh, it's by the supervisor. And then no response. They stopped responding to me. So no, I don't feel protected by these people being like professionals or whatever. Absolutely not. They can do whatever they want. There's no consequences. And no, I'm terrified. So I didn't feel safe to be home at all. So I went to a hotel, but it was the summer, so it was hard to, like, everything was booked. So we were able to stay there like 2 days, and then we couldn't stay there, stay by a friend. It was ridiculous. Like, I have kids, I have a life, I have a community, I run a business, I have employees. Like, how am I doing this? Like, so after this, basically they called my family doctor, and they were like, oh, like, does she know the risks and benefits? And why didn't she go to her scheduled C-section? First of all, I didn't schedule a C-section. And second of all, he knows that I know the risks and benefits, and I'm very like on top of myself and whatever. So I spoke with him, and I was like, but is it like illegal to not schedule a C-section? Like, what are they after? Like, what's their claim? Like, what are they doing? And he said, he has no idea. Do you want to speak to the social worker? So I said, sure, no problem. So I spoke with her. I did a long interview with her. I told her all the information that I just told you. And she was like tearing by the end. And she was like, don't worry, I'll have the case closed by today. Okay. Then so at that point, I was like, you know what, let's just give up. This is not happening. We're not going back home at this point. I rented like an Airbnb to be near this hospital in case, like, fine, good idea. So we're on our way to this place, and she calls, she says, the people above me are just asking if you'll do a psychiatric evaluation. And I was like, okay, give me a break. First of all, I'm a clinical psychologist. I'm licensed in Israel. I'm licensed in several states in America. I also am a supervisor and a trainer for various, whatever, bigger organizations. I lecture publicly. You can Google me and see, I told her in the interview, you can Google me and see me lecture. You can see my professional publications. Like, what do you want on me? Like, you're not going to find that I'm like a psychotic, you know, not functional person. You know, you're talking about like somebody's like a woman who's really not managing, who's really not like, who's really depressed, who's really not all there, who's not functioning. Fine. It's still, that shouldn't be a thing, but fine. What are you going to find on me? Like, what do you think you're, okay. So I said, but if I do this, will you close the case? And she said, yes, definitely then. I said, fine. So I got a psychiatric evaluation same day, sent it over to her. And they had the district psychiatrist call him, which they never, ever do. Like, they're supposed to trust their own, like, if you gave a license to a psychiatrist, you should be able to trust him, but fine. And then they sent me a letter, a court summons. And I completely panicked. So at that point, a friend connected me with a lawyer. He went in and represented me, and he said, they're sending police after you. So, like, don't, basically, like, they're tracing your phone. So I had to wrap my phone in tinfoil, like out of a spy movie, so that it wouldn't be traceable. And so they weren't able to trace my phone. And it's just like totally insane. And I went with my friend into hiding, which was crazy also because I have 5 kids and I run a business and I'm 9 months pregnant after a loss, in case anybody wasn't following the story until now. I wasn't just like a woman who was bored, as if anybody should go through this, but like, okay. So, and then I was like already like at the end of the pregnancy, and I thought like, I'll just give birth already. But basically, yeah, I ended up being, that was like one full week from that first Friday night fiasco till a week later when like the court hearing had and I happened, and I went from that Airbnb and I went into hiding with my friend 3 weeks later at 43 weeks. So I will say there was like a lot of like stuff happened along the way, but for the sake of time, at 41 weeks, I did start having like some contractions, but they never picked up, like to an hour, like nothing doing. We did everything. I was walking up and down mountains and Zumbaing and I was doing homeopathics also. And I'm obviously doing all the same manifesting and trying to release and trying to relax and whatever. They did actually then find that I was in that location, like the town that I was in. So I had to move, like I moved from house to house to house, and then I moved finally to a different neighborhood and did not bring any phones, no computers, nothing. And by the way, one of our clients did have a suicide attempt while I was away, which was just crazy because I'm the
Oh
supervisor.
my
Like
gosh.
I'm always available 24/7. My phone is on. I'm available to my clients all the time and to my supervisees. But for this situation, I was underground, my phone was off, and I'm like nobody had a clue what was going on. And so whatever. I mean, saying thank God I have a good setup and I work with good people and they managed. But like the fact that I was not able to do my job and I was not able to take care of people who actually have mental illness is really just insane on so many levels, so many levels. But yeah, basically at 43 weeks, finally, I was just like in such a state of like, is this ever going to happen? I was like even thinking like I just need to just have a C-section at this point just so I can go home. I was away from my kids all this time also. And at the beginning, I was talking with them like on other people's phones, but then I was scared to even use any phones. So I wasn't talking to them at all for the last week, which was just crazy. They're little kids, totally insane. I just kept getting stuck on like, am I really going to like harm my body for no medical cause? This is insane. Like, how do I decide that? How do I do that? Why would I do that? So, I mean, whatever. It was an incredibly, incredibly painful experience. Obviously, very transformative. Also, I do feel that like God was kind of like showing me that he's in charge and nobody can harm me unless he lets. And nobody found me. I was so safe. I was so safe. And actually, the thing I had been like visualizing and manifesting the whole pregnancy is I want to just give birth feeling loved and safe. And I was so safe. Nobody in the world knew where I was. I was in the middle of nowhere in a cabin in the woods, totally in the middle of nowhere. So loved. Surrounded by three women who just came to be with me and walk with me, and their families like picked up the slack, which was so special to let them just be there for me. And like with all and like no contractions, like 2 weeks of having these on and off contractions. And then finally on a Friday night, I just felt an urge to pare down. And my friend's like, oh my gosh, I see your purple line. And then I like felt like I felt my body, like I felt like my pelvis. Actually, the other thing I've been visualizing is a water slide birth. Baby's just gonna.
Wow.
I felt my like pelvic bones separate and I felt him like slither, slither, and out he popped. And he was just perfect and wonderful and so easeful. And I was like an hour after birth. No, I'm kidding. Okay. First of all, the placenta didn't come for 4 hours.
Wow,
The
your
second
sticky
attempt,
placentas.
but it was very high. And the second I sat down on the toilet, it came right out. So I think it was that. But yeah, he was just so perfect and so aware and happy and healthy. And he's like so advanced. Everyone always says, like he's 4 months now and he's just like super social and crawling and talking and totally not normal 4 month-old. And yeah, and the next day after the birth was the Supreme Court hearing where we won that this entire case had no legal basis. You cannot pursue random people just because you disagree with their
Just
medical judgment.
because, yeah.
Not a thing. There was never a legal basis for this case.
Wow.
Kept losing in court and just pushing it to the next judge, pushing it to the next judge. And each judge said, like, there's no case. Tell her that, like, there's no case. We're going to drop this tomorrow. And then they would put it through. Somebody was pushing behind the scenes, obviously. There was even a police
Wow.
officer who tell her like that we are not going to pursue her. We are not going to follow this ruling. This is absurd. And then they came after me anyway. They followed me all the way to the neighborhood I was in. They were checking under beds. They were sending out messages to the whole neighborhood. It was
This
insane.
is
Mind
insane.
you, a
Oh
country
my
that's at
goodness.
war, and mind you, there was like a shooting in a village right next to where I was, and like
Oh
so there were
my
police for that. And then the next
gosh.
day they came to look for me. I'm like, how priorities, people? Like,
Oh,
this
I
is
am
wrong.
so sorry that that happened.
Yeah. So that was insane, but I do feel like it was really healing for me in so many levels. I mean, aside from just the birth being spectacular, peaceful, asked for, and transformative for me also. Like there was like I knew that like there was I had a fear of doing something wrong or of missing something or of not being able to listen to myself properly, and like that was like causing me some like resistance in my contract, and like. The second I was able to like release to it, there's no pain in birth. Pain is not a necessary part of birth. Birth is joyful and delightful and transformative and not, yeah. So the birth was the thing. The pre-birth was traumatizing, but in every sense of that word, and I'm qualified to say that, but also really, really transformative, and
Yeah.
excited about that Supreme Court
Wow.
killer, because as my lawyer says, you can still be afraid of the emergency people because they can do it, they can still do whatever they want, but legally no one can do anything to you anymore.
Wow. Holy stinking cow. What a journey. I don't think we have anything like this on the podcast
I
in
don't
all
think so
400
either.
and something episodes. So, thank you so much for sharing your journey. Seriously, I'm so happy for you that, you were able to navigate this and find it healing and empowering along the way and growing and even through loss, have been able to heal and grow. So, yeah, huge congrats to you on your babies and your family and your journey. And thank you for sharing.
Would you like to be a guest on the podcast? Head over to thevbacklink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbacklink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
Everybody, I just wanted to take a quick sec to thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. We are so glad that you are here. This community is near and dear to our heart. We love you all so much. If you enjoyed today's episode, we would really appreciate it if you'd leave us a rating and review. Our whole team here at the VBAC Link actually gets to see these reviews come in, and it makes our day. A 5-star rating helps us share our podcast and gets these important messages out there. Thank you so much for listening, and we cannot wait to see you next time.